this.
Forgive me, Mr. Holmes. I know I shouldn't trespass on your valuable time.
Oh, nonsense. Now, take off your coat and draw up a chair while I try to enliven the fire. Yes, I think with a little judicious attention, I may encourage these embers into a blaze. Yes, that's more like it. Yes. And the doctor has a prescription containing hot water and a lemon, among other ingredients, which is an excellent preventative medicine. Doctor, if you'd be so kind.
I'm already preparing it, Holmes.
It's very good of you, gentlemen, and I hesitate to trouble you with my problem.
Well, it must be a serious problem indeed to have brought you out in this storm.
I've had a very full day, Mr. Holmes, and that's a fact. Did you see the item about the Yoxley case in the evening edition?
I'm afraid I've seen no news today later than the 15th century.
Well, it was only a paragraph. Most of it wrong at that. You didn't miss much.
Inspector, an infallible remedy to be taken before bedtime.
Oh, thank you, Doctor. You're very good health, gentlemen.
And yours, Inspector. Then here's to a speedy solution to the problem, whatever it may be.
That's better.
Good.
Well, I haven't let the grass grow under my feet, I promise you that. The crime occurred at midday, a few minutes before noon. I was wired for at 3:15, reached Yoxley Old Place by 5, conducted my investigations, returned to Charing Cross in the last train, and here I am.
Yoxley Old Place. Oh, I don't recall the name.
It's a manor house down in Kent, 7 miles from Chatham, and not as near the railway station as I'd have liked.
You say a crime was committed, but you don't specify what type of crime.
Murder, Mr. Holmes. Plain and simple. Well, leastways, it's plain enough, but it's very far from simple. Here's a man dead. There's no denying that, at any rate. But as far as I can see, there's no reason why anyone should wish him any harm. No motive, you see. None whatsoever.
Allow me to correct you. There's no motive that you've been able to discover as yet.
I suppose that's true. The fact is, I can't make head nor tail of it.
Perhaps if you were to begin with the facts.
Well, that won't be difficult. I've got the facts clear enough. All I want now is to make sense of them.
Well, let's begin with the house. Yoxley Old Place. How old?
Very old. Originally built in the Middle Ages, I'd say. Tudor, or a bit earlier, maybe the 1400s.
Yes, strange how the 15th century seems to be pursuing me today.
But a remarkable old building, by the sound of it.
No doubt of that. A rabbit warren of rooms, winding passages leading up and down. Low ceilings and oak beams, very picturesque, unless you happen to be 6 foot tall.
Yes, I noticed the bruise when you walked in. And who lives in this picturesque rabbit warren?
Some years ago, the house was taken by an elderly gentleman, Professor Coram. He's an invalid, keeping to his bed most of the time. Otherwise, he's wheeled in a bath chair by Mortimer, the gardener.
What do his neighbours have to say of him? Is he popular?
The neighbours have really set eyes on him. He never goes beyond the garden gate. He has the reputation of being a learned man, but a bit of a recluse.
What other domestic staff does he have, apart from the gardener?
There are two servants living in the house. Mortimer has his own cottage at the far end of the garden. Mrs. Marker, the housekeeper, and a maid of all work, Susan Tarleton.
Have these ladies been in his employ for long?
He engaged them when he first moved in. They're both women of excellent character. He hired a secretary at the same time. He's writing some learned historical book, and he needs an educated young man to assist him.
And who is this educated young man?
The professor hasn't been quite so fortunate in that respect. The first two he hired weren't successful, but the third, Mr. Willoughby Smith, was a young chap straight down from university, and he filled the bill perfectly. I spent some time on the telephone this evening, and I can tell you, Smith was a decent, hard-working lad.
What?
Nobody ever had a bad word for him from the time he was a schoolboy at Uppingham or a student at Cambridge. Yet he met his death this morning in the professor's study under circumstances which can only point to murder.
That is certainly very curious.
Do you think, Holmes, another log on the fire?
Yes, certainly. Now, the murder itself. I am all attention, Inspector.
The principal source of my information is Susan Tarleton, since she discovered the body.
You said that the crime took place at midday. Where was Miss Tarleton at the time?
Just before noon. She was upstairs, hanging some curtains which she'd ironed at one of the windows in the upper corridor. Professor Coram was in bed as usual. When the weather's bad, he seldom rises before lunch. And Mrs. Marker was busy in the kitchen. Willoughby Smith had been upstairs. He passed Susan Tarleton on his way down to the study on the ground floor. A minute or so later, she heard a dreadful cry from the room below. A wild scream, strange and unnatural. At the same instant, there was a heavy thud that seemed to shake the whole house. And then silence.
Girl must have been terrified.
I'm sure she was. But she pulled herself together and ran downstairs.
Mr. Smith? What's the matter? Are you all right?